T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ron Coomer joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Ron, how are you?
Morning, Ron.
I'm doing good, boys. Hey, David, how are you guys doing?
Oh, are you kidding? We are living the dream, and I got to tell you, I'm watching Jason Hayward crack a bat over his knee, and I was telling David this morning that I'd need surgery if I attempted that. I could, however, probably give it the old Glasgow kiss, break it over my forehead, but not the knee, no. And he said that that you've done that, and it's apparently not as bad as it looks.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that, Ron. That was entertaining.
It's there has to be a lot of rage involved. It's not a normal thing to do, let's just put it that way. And usually it comes with a strikeout. And maybe a bad call to really get a good and really good and upset.
Do you remember when you did it? Do you remember the circumstances?
I did it once in the minor leagues in Birmingham, yep, and Double A. And I did it once in the big leagues, and I think I was in Oakland playing on a called third strike. I obviously didn't think it was strike three, and snap, the bat went. Yep.
And uh-huh. I get, you know, I understand you need a certain amount of rage, but it's also, you kind of got to get the thin part of the bat, right? I mean, you got to use leverage.
There's some strategy involved too. you got to get your hands on both ends of the bat too. So you're not doing it. There's certain bats you wouldn't want to do it with either. The R-161 is a big, thick handled bat. If you use that and you tried it, might not work out real well for the thigh.
So, Ron, there was some frustration yesterday. Jason Hayward, we described breaking this bat over his knee, and the Cubs leave 10 runners on base, 9-7. The rally falls short. It was quite a rally. Tyler Chatwood had a big hit in the ninth of all people. But after this split, we were talked about how different it feels. The White Sox split with the Astros. You're like, oh, my gosh, they split with the Astros. And the Cubs split with the Phillies. You're like, oh, well, they split with the Phillies. What's your sense of where this team is after those four games?
I think they're doing well. I really do. You know, the guy that threw against them last night is really good. Nola, you know, he was one of the top. I think he was third in the Cy Young voting last year. So he's a guy that early in the season he had some issues. But the start before last, he had 12 punchouts, real good fastball, great slider. Not even good, but great. So there are certain nights where you just got to, or days where you just got to go, well, we got to scratch out some runs. And you know, I was just listening to you guys right before I went on, and Mark Grody was talking. Had an interview with John, and John was talking about his starts, the last two, and he's just not the same guy that he was, you know, before that. Something's a little off. He's not hitting his spots, and, you know, Cubs got behind against one of the elite starters in the game. And Nola doesn't get a lot of pub. You know, you don't hear his name over and over, but he's really good.
Yeah, it's really kind of interesting to think about. Again, baseball prospectus has been proven wrong in the way that the math turned out for the Cubs. They felt that, you know, their math told them the Cubs were going to be in last place, and that's certainly far from being the case. But the reason is they believed there'd be some regression for Cole Hamels and John Lester because of, you know, 34 years old. And when you have an aging pitching staff, that's always going to be an issue. Certainly the Cubs pitching has been great this year, but the last couple of outings have been tough for both those guys. Do you, do you give them a break at some point? Do you handle them differently because of their age, or do you just power through?
I would say it's probably a little bit of both at the different times of the year. To me, you can't just judge our game on math. It's just not going to work. There's an eye test that has to go on. That you've got to see a guy. You've got to know what's inside a guy. Some people, you know, that regression could happen. There are other guys you go, he's not sliding to where he's about done playing. And I don't get that feeling with Lester and or Hamels at all. So I just think John's going through something. We've seen him go through it before, as he said. He's not missing by much, but he's missing. And he's missing regularly on both sides of the plate. And when that's happening, something's not right. And I think Hamels said the same thing. There have been times he's been really good, and then there have been times he's been just off the plate. Now, Q did the same thing. Now, he's 29. Do we say that about him, too? I just think that's our game. That's the way it goes. I don't think any of those three guys are regressing and going the wrong way by no means. I just think they're having a little bump in the road right now for Hamill and Lester.
Ryan Albert Almora Jr. had 0-for-4 yesterday with 2 strikeouts, but he's had a big week, and he's had a great month. He's been the Cubs' leading hitter average-wise, I think, since April 25th. Everybody talks about, you know, now that he has adjusted to the adjustments, what's going to happen next? Because last year we saw him not really making those adjustments in the second half, and we saw what happened. What's he been doing well, and how important is it for him to maybe keep in mind what they're going to do to maybe adjust to how well he's done?
Well, it's a daily thing, David. He's got to use the middle of the diamond when he hits. He does a really good job of handling the ball inside. The league knows it. The Cubs know it. Everybody knows that. But he's not going to get pitched in there if he can't handle the ball away. And that's fastball and slider. So this month, he's hit the ball the other way. Yesterday, in some key situations, they threw that sinker, started it away, faded it to the outer third, ground ball to short. And you can't always direct the ball where you want to hit it. But your approach at times has to be right. And, you know, as a young player, sometimes you get home run conscious, you get pull conscious, and that just works out. I think he's figuring it out, you know, and he's understanding what the league is doing, and he had a really good month. If he continues along this path, he's going to be an everyday center fielder.
You know, we talk about the bullpen, and, you know, the numbers did get a little ugly there for a little bit. You know, you can't help but look at I think the ERA got over 5 for a while there. What do you make of the, you know, do you wait till after the draft to make some kind of move? There's all this talk about whether they will eventually make a trade or they'll try to pick somebody up. Do you have to jump ahead of the market a little bit? I mean, would it be better to do that sooner rather than later, or do you recommend waiting on Strope and finding whether Brandon Morrow will indeed ever come back?
Well, I don't know about Morrow. We haven't heard much about him.
Right.
To me, I don't know if you can count on him. You know, he's been hurt, so you just don't know. And that's the only thing I can say about Morrow. I know he's in Phoenix, and I know he's trying to get back, and he's going through a program. He had a setback about a month ago. I would say this. If the Cubs, I would go out and get somebody, but it's probably going to be in trade is what they're probably looking to do. And I would get somebody as soon as you could. When you get Pedro Strop back, because just in watching Petey around the ballpark, he's getting real close. I think he's going to throw again tomorrow out of the bullpen, if I'm not mistaken. And then that would probably be one of his last bullpens, and then he's going to see hitters and maybe go on a quick rehab assignment. But if you get him back, that really helps. And then if you can find somebody in a trade that's a closer from a team that's struggling, and you can do that, I'd pull the trigger as soon as possible and get somebody in here and deepen your bullpen. I just think it's going to be a dogfight between Milwaukee and, you know, St. Louis isn't going to go away. And, you know, Pittsburgh has played pretty good. So this division is going to be tough. The sooner you can strengthen your bullpen, the better off.
Ron, Jason Hayward, as we talked about at the beginning, broke the bat in frustration. He's not been hitting well. He certainly started strong at the beginning of the year, but has tailed off. What has changed specifically with his approach?
Well, I think for Jason, with the mechanics of his swing, he really needs to hit the ball the other way. Earlier in the year, he hit the ball the other way. And then what it does is it allows him to get the ball out front just a little bit more once he starts swinging and hitting the ball that way. And when he gets away from that, you start seeing the softer contact in the pull. He gets jammed some. And so that's me. I just think it's a mechanical thing right now. Excuse me. And he's got to start hitting the ball the other way, because they're going to pitch him to where he's not going to be able to pull the ball. And, you know, that's the same issue he dealt with last year.
Ron, always a joy. Thanks, buddy. Great catching up.
Have a great weekend, Ron.
You have a great weekend. We'll be at the Friendly Confines. It's going to be fun.
You're also going to be at your restaurant, I hear. You heard you talking with Pat in Lockport, Coombs Corner, right?
Yeah, I'm always going to be there. That's just the way it is.
You guys are pushing the salmon and the shrimp.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to have salmon and asparagus in case my partner shows up. That's all.
Have a great weekend, Ron.
All right, buddy.
See you guys.
That's awesome. That's Ron Coomer.
Coomer.
Here's Zach laughing in the background there.
Coomer.
The cackler.
They're not booing. They're saying coom. 312.
They're not booing me, folks. They're just yelling coom.
312-644-6767.
Shift gears. Let's go to Jay Hilgenberg next.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I want to talk to him about the list. I've got some questions for Jay that are very obvious ones, but we haven't talked to him about them in a long time. We'll get his take on all things Bears 100. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
You know what? You just made the list.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and we're delighted to welcome in our friend Jay Hilgenberg. He is one of the all-time greats. The Dan and Don 100 list to coincide with the 100th anniversary of the Chicago Bears includes Jay Hilgenberg at number 18, one of six 85 Bears in the top 20. Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Well, it's a delight to talk to you. How did you feel about being 18?
Oh, you know, it's kind of weird, you know, this whole ranking system, because, you know, we're all competitors and competitive, and you want a good number. You want to be in a good spot and competing, but really have no say in or anything. So it's strange. It's great to see names get recognized again. So all in all, it's a fun thing. It's been a lot of conversation, and so it's a good thing.
How hard is it to compare eras, Jay? Because obviously, you know, you look at today's linemen and the ones from the 85 Bears era, and then before you look at a guy like Danny Fortman, an offensive lineman. He's 10th on the list. It has to be difficult for Dan and Don to have compared linemen from different eras.
Oh, it's impossible. It's impossible to do it, and it's funny. It's surprising they even try to do something like what they did. But, you know, for the 100-year anniversary, I think it's a good call. It's always kind of bothered me over the eras, you know, the eras, you know, compare, you know, this is the best player of all time. It's football's a team game. You know, it's the ultimate, you always hear that, it's the ultimate team sport. And really the only way to be successful in football is to play together as a team, and you know the offensive line really is the main point of that, and that's, you know, to be recognized on this list. You know, I really got to hand it to, you know, Tom Thayer and Mark Bortz and Keith Van Horn and Jimbo Covert, because we really played as a unit all those years together.
He's Jay Hilgenberg. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. And Jay, of course, does pre and post on WBBM, our sister station. And so you've watched all these modern players. And, you know, let's start with Walter Payton, because Walter Payton is number one. you know, I was telling a story earlier, Jay, about being out to dinner with Hamp one time with my brother, and my brother is asking him all these Bears questions from 85. And he kept asking him about Walter Payton and was his workout, you know, did he work out away from the team in order to create this era of this aura of invincibility? Is that a true idea? Tell us about Walter and your, I mean, obviously a great football player. Did you, did he have that kind of aura to him? Was he as much a part of the team or more separate from it because he was such a unique player?
What a special guy. You know, I was so fortunate to be a locker next to Walter, and it's just an unbelievable guy to be around. It's just, you know, some guys you look at and you know they're special. I mean, that was Walter Payton. He was just special. And so it was really cool for me all those years being next to Walter.
So, Jay, put on your analyst hat for a second. And when you looked at this list, we're all sort of colored by our own biases depending on how old we are watching the Bears. Were you surprised at Refrigerator Perry not being on the top 100? And did you think that Jay Cutler should have been higher than 85?
Well, I'm shocked that Fridge wasn't on there. And Jay Cutler being 85, I'm surprised he's that high, really. I just, you know, as far as to being a Chicago Bear, I think it means something. You got to have an attitude out there and play with, you know, Dick always said, play with that chip on your shoulder, a certain toughness. And I just think Jay Cutler was just not a very strong competitor on the football field. I think he could have been a lot more than he was. I don't know if it's just his personality wasn't set up to go out and compete and just to be a vocal leader. I mean, you look at Mitchell Trubisky, the way he is out there right now. He's a team player, and that's what that quarterback has to be, is just a team guy over the top.
Jay, I felt my only beef was that I thought Dan Hampton should have, at the very least, just been in the top 10, and he was 11th. And I know that's picking nit a little bit, but that's a guy that, to me, you know, maybe the best player on the best defense ever assembled, and maybe the most important player on that defense. Maybe I'm wrong. What's your take on Hamp?
I agree with that. You know, I mean, Walter Payton on offense, I mean, no one reached that level, but Hampton was important to that defense. He was as important and a very vocal leader, a strong leader. Practiced hard, gave everything he got, loved football, 100% in the game. I mean, just the right attitude. Dan Hampton, you know, had the whole package, and he brought it. He practiced hard, practiced against me all the time, made me a better player. I mean, that's where I was fortunate to go against guys like Hampton and McMichael and Singletary. You know, games ended up being a little easier at times.
Singletary's interesting because I think a lot of people, you know, you look at the middle linebacker position, and obviously it was a position created by the Bears. You know, Bill George drops into coverage. Bill George ends up a coach and ends up a coach to Butkus. You know, Butkus finishes second on this list. And obviously you talk about Mike Singletary and you talk to opponents and they said that he'd be barking out the calls that you were running, the plays that were being run. It was kind of an extra. And then Urlacher following that, it's just a position like running back that defines the Bears. So tell us a little bit about Singletary.
Yeah, Mike, an intense competitor also. I mean, he would bring it. Very serious guy. Mike is a very consistent person. He's the same guy every single day. You know what you expect from him. He's gonna work hard. He's gonna come at you on the football field, and kind of a quieter guy, a little less vocal, but at times he got very loud, and he would express his feelings to the team. And at one time, he was one of the guys I remember early in our career. We came in the same year, 81, and Mike was a guy I remember one day at practice. It may have been like 83 or 84 or something like that, right when we were starting to get pretty good. Out of Cal's one time, he just kind of we were doing Cal's stretch before practice, and he just screaming, you know, I refuse to go home early this year, and kept screaming it, and it really kind of, I think it got everybody alert to the possibilities that this team could accomplish, or that we could accomplish, you know, ahead next couple of years. So Mike was a great leader for the Bears.
Great stuff. Hey, Jay, always a joy to talk to you. Really appreciate
your time.
Thanks,
Jay. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot. About to sell. See you guys during the season. Looking forward to it.
All right, forward buddy. To it. Take yep. care. That is Jay Hilgenberg.
Every Sunday, he's there.
And, you know, you heard him mention there that he's from a football family. The old joke was that they were the only family that go to a picnic and play catch with their backs to each other.
Yeah, right. Family full of centers.
Family of centers, yeah. Let's get to a final look at the sports world from a man that really is,
needs no introduction.
Well, it's not an introduction. It's just it's just the man. I don't know what to say about the king of all update guys. Just that he's moved on to better things.
Number one on my list.
Still can bring it anytime he wants.
Absolutely.
Mark Brody, ladies and gentlemen.
I am not above being king of the updates. Trust me.
No.
Happy to perform for you gentlemen.
Means a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I'm verklempt.
Yes. I'm verklempt. One last time.
It's just allergies.
Yeah. I have Spilkis in my Connect-a-Gazoink. Yes. Yes.
A lot of that going around lately.
I know. I try to be remote with my working, but I come in here and it's Spilkis.
Well, Jay. Jay did this, and Jay on him. Jay.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
April 15th, 2016 is the last Sox complete game shutout. This is in the air. Third base side. Moncada is underneath and donuts are on Lucas. 4-0 Sox complete game shutout. For the transformed Lucas Giolito.
Just the rhythm, the tempo. For me, a big thing was, if you look back at the last game, in the fifth inning, I really picked up the tempo because it started raining. And I was like, why not just try and do that every time? So just getting into attack mode early, filling up the zone. And then luckily I had my good stuff and we were able to mix sequences really well. And I was throwing off-speed pitches for strikes, which always helps me out.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and there is the voice of Lucas Giolito. He had an extraordinary game last night against a first-place team, maybe a team that was the best in baseball.
Probably so. Came in hot, and now we know what to do to get Lucas Giolito in the right frame of mind before his next start. Just kind of have a weather forecast that threatens rain. So he'll think like, okay, I have to work fast.
I love hearing that, and I love the fact that that he has put up some extraordinary numbers of late, and I love the fact that he has the highest WAR of any pitcher in the city of Chicago at 1.8 WAR for Lucas Giolito. David, I know you follow Christopher Komka on Twitter, and he is a great follow, and I thought he did a remarkable job.
It's a good follow and a good fellow.
A good fellow to follow as well, and he did a remarkable job of just, in a series of four or five tweets, put together everything you need to know about Lucas Giolito's performance and why it was so significant.
He did, and it's his first career complete game shutout, the second consecutive complete game, because the other complete game was the five-inning rain-shortened complete game, but he gets credit for that. I guess he should get credit for that, even though there's sort of an asterisk there.
The only two White Sox complete games under Rick Renteria. Isn't that horrible?
It's the first White Sox complete game shutout since Chris Sale on April 15th, 2016. We heard Jason Benetti refer to that. And it's the first, this is what's interesting and why it is sort of more significant seemingly to us. It's the first Astros home shutout loss of the season. That wasn't a team that you look at and you're like, okay, well, that's the Marlins, or boy, that's a bad team. It was the Astros, even without Altuve, even without George Springer, a dangerous lineup.
Lucas Giolito's last six starts, 1.25 ERA, 36 innings pitched, 21 hits, 10 walks, 41 strikeouts, a .861 whip. And he did leave one of those games early due to injury.
So when you're
one was shortened by
looking at the White Sox coming out of Arizona after spring training and you're heading into the season, I mean, there were a lot of pitchers or a couple guys you looked at as, okay, they could be, you know, Carlos Rodon could emerge as the ace. Oh, Ronaldo Lopez could bounce back and have a good season. What are you going to get out of Ivan, you know, Nova? But I don't know that you really expected this out of Giolito. And the people that did, it's a very small group. And you had more doubt than you did faith in Lucas Giolito. And he has, I guess, responded to some of those doubts with as much consistency as you pointed out. He's got the highest WAR of any baseball pitcher in Chicago. And that's impressive. And you heard him talk about it. He talks like a guy who's just building more confidence with every start.
Yeah, and you know, the sequencing of pitches was awesome as well. And he was pounding the strike zone. And he's, you know, we've seen him rely on the changeup in different starts. He's fallen in love with that. He was also throwing like 97 miles an hour. I mean, it was an amazing performance all the way around. The curveball, the slider, he had everything going.
He did, and now he sets a table for Ronaldo Lopez. The Sox go into Minnesota to play the Twins. The Twins are coming off a pounding of the Angels. They swept the Angels in Anaheim, and that's a road trip. They were 6-1. They're the first place team. I think they have more wins than any team in baseball right now. Nobody saw that coming.
They got their ace on the hill tonight, too. Jose Berrios, one of the best young pitchers in baseball. I just hope I have a good time.
And you're going to go anyway, right, Kevin?
I'm going anyway, yeah.
Kevin's right. Driving up there. That's how inspired he is.
Leaving after the show, Giolito inspired me. No, well, we had plans before that.
Yeah, I know, you had plans.
Yeah, I've never been to Target Field. Heard it's nice. Looking forward to it. I'm checking off the list of all the AL Central ballparks. I just have Comerica will be my last one that I've never been to.
And you've never been to the Mall of America?
No, or and Prince's grave or whatever you were talking about earlier.
His home is open to the public. You're not listening. Also, we should mention that Kevin has not – he's only been out of the country once. This is – basically, he's going to Canada tonight. He's driving up to Minnesota. You may as well just be in Canada.
Might as well, yeah.
It's no big difference.
It'll be a fun trip. That sounds
people
like
are super nice in Minnesota, and they're cold.
How many will the – Sox win this weekend? How many victories will you see?
Are you asking me how many games I expect from them?
Well, I thought Kevin might be going to more than one game. I don't know if he
Kevin,
is
are you going just to one game?
Just tonight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're
coming home in the morning?
I don't want to see the Manny Banuelos experience live in person tomorrow.
I understand that.
They might hit 9 home runs.
Yeah.
His nickname is TBA.
The Raptors won yesterday on the road. We haven't talked much NBA, but Milwaukee had been kind of, I don't know if we could say assumed to be, they were the kind of leading candidate to be the Eastern Conference representative in the NBA Finals. We know the Warriors will be defending their title, but lo and behold, Toronto behind Kawhi Leonard, a huge second half and a big fourth quarter, scoring 15 of his 35 in the final frame. He leads the Toronto Raptors, much to the delight of Drake, I'm sure, to a victory over Milwaukee. And yeah, and they can close out the series at home on Saturday night, and Nick Nurse doesn't have to worry about getting too stressed out because Drake is there to give him a little neck massage.
Yeah, that's a bit ridiculous. But
he also laughed at Giannis, and Giannis hasn't been the same. since being laughed at by Drake. Also, Mr. David, I don't know if you are following this. They tried to do some. They're attempting to get the league to go after Drake a little bit because of his histrionics on the sideline, and it's obviously in their heads. So
it's in their heads.
It's going to be interesting.
I think fans getting involved in at games is one thing. I don't like him massaging the coach on the sidelines. I think that's ridiculous. If I were Nick Nurse, I'd be embarrassed. You know, stay.
Well, I mean, come on. A guy's going to run around and do stuff like that, who are you to stop him? Who are any of us to stop trade?
Just think.
Look around you.
That's
look
a
at
bit
this.
Much.
We created this. This didn't exist before we were here. Look around at the square. I promise you right now, we did this. Doesn't matter what anybody says. They can say it's disrespectful. They can say it's this and that. And that. Everybody's within the rules. Everybody's doing their thing. All we are is proud and passionate. We are like a college sports team. The Toronto Raptors are a college sports team. I promise you. I love Toronto. I love this team. And we're going to the
chance to win at home.
That was a very excited Drake. You don't like Drake? You don't want to hear from Drake?
You know, right. do we have more? Do you want to talk more about
they
Drake?
They started on the bottom and now they're
That's
here.
Great. That's great. Bucks are in trouble.
They started on the bottom and they'll hold.
Yeah. But the Bucks are in trouble. I did not think they would be in this kind of jeopardy. I'm surprised that the Raptors are ahead. And it looks like they're going to win the series. I would be surprised now if the Raptors blow it.
And Kawhi is phenomenal. But do you have confidence Kawhi can beat the Warriors? And how about the All-NBA team announced yesterday? No Klay Thompson. That will cost him roughly $30 million. Is that unbelievable? LeBron, first of all, is a third-teamer. So LeBron gets shut out of the first team for the first time in God knows how long. And that was, I think he and Karl Malone were fighting for the record there. But a lot of the ability to give a player a max contract depends on how one of the factors is how many All-NBA teams.
And how do
he
they
makes.
Determine the All-NBA team?
It's sports writers and
okay, see,
broadcasters.
That's what I don't like. You have basically the media voting on a team, and whoever makes that team, it determines how much money they make. So I think there's an issue there that could have definite conflict of interest. If it's an automatic, you know, escalator. If you have an automatic escalator, right. If you make a team, then all of a sudden you're eligible for an extra $50 million.
But whose fault is it? Why isn't Cheapskate Clay given $20,000 each to media members?
Exactly.
I mean, it'd be real easy. It wouldn't even take that.
He needs to bribe
better. If
Kevin
were voting on that, it'd be about
just bribe
500
better.
Bucks.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't take that much. Yeah.
Yeah.
He looked miffed when he was talking about it, and I can understand why.
They told him about it. He's like, that out? And then he did an eye roll when he was told that Kemba Walker finished ahead of him. It was a classic eye roll. And then he said, doesn't it matter that you go to five straight finals? Do you think people do that without – like, he basically – I mean, his point is that he's not the superstar on a bad team. He's the third guy on a great team.
It's a valid point. And I think the story, that's a story in Golden State and in San Francisco and Oakland. But I think the story down in Charlotte is Kemba Walker now priced himself out of the Hornets price range. There's no way they're going to be able to give him the supermax or whatever it is to afford to keep him there. So this kind of stamped his ticket to free agency, if there was any doubt.
Do you guys think, since if Toronto gets to the finals, that Kawhi re-ups there with the Raptors? Or do
I think it's possible. Wouldn't you? I mean, look, it depends on what motivates him. Nobody can tell that. If it's one of the Los Angeles teams, he's not going to be going to a team that's ready to compete for an NBA title as quickly or as ready as the Raptors will be. If you go back to Toronto.
Yes.
Yeah, either, I mean, he's used to winning. I mean, those years with San Antonio, now. I mean, he's a winner. He does. You're right. He doesn't want to go to the Lakers.
Why would you go to a rebuilding situation?
How much does he like Drake? That's what it comes down to. Because Drake, as someone pointed out here on the text line, is effectively acting like a groupie at a Drake concert.
Drake?
He is, really.
Yeah. All right. We're going to bring in Dan and Connor next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.